Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, it's Monday. Welcome to Knife Talk. It's a podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers, anyone who likes to put two and two together to make four. I'm Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. With me is Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives. Unfortunately, Mareko is out traveling, but we'll try to hold it down for him. This is a weekly knife-making podcast for all you motherfuckers out there who need a little bit of time to burn. Craig, how the hell are you?
I'm good. Let's bring on those Damascus questions. I'm ready. I'm good. Today is the first day I've been feeling really bright. Last week, some of you probably noticed my voice was a bit all over the shop. My chest was playing up. Well, we've all had it. Everybody I know has had it. But today, Everything's bright. Headaches are gone, and I've just been really positive, and I've got loads done. It feels as if something's happening, you know? It's good.
You sound like you have a lot of spring in your step.
A lot today, yeah. Yeah, and nothing's changed. I woke up, and it's just like, oh, I'm feeling good. And I mean, it's raining, everything's gray, but it's not stopping me. It's not bringing me down today.
All right. I love it. Have you been doing anything? I know there's been a lot of music stuff going on, but what's been going on in your world?
Lots and lots of music stuff. So, excuse me. I can't really say at the moment, actually. I will be able to next week. But there's been a mad dash to get stuff done because something happened last week and it presented a huge opportunity to us. And we're just like, oh, fuck, let's make it happen. So that's what we're doing. It's been fun.
So you're going to be like, you know, playing at King Charles's bedside or?
not quite.
The waiting room?
That would send him off, wouldn't it?
I don't mean to make light, but what happened to that fucking guy? I mean, well, His Highness.
His Highness, that fucking guy. How dare you? Off with your head. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't really listen to the news and such, but my wife told me about it yesterday. And I'd imagine for them to say this, it's got to be pretty bad.
So he's got cancer, is basically what the story is.
Yeah, so the prostate, apparently. And for them to announce that, I think it's got to be pretty bad. You know, a head of state, you know, announcing that they've got this illness. They don't normally do that, you know? So I'm thinking, and just even hearing earlier, Harry's on a plane over to come and see his dad.
Oh, no.
You know, and if he's coming over, Jesus, there's something going on.
You know, this poor guy has been his whole life in the shadow of his mother. His mother held on forever, finally gets the keys to the car, and the car don't start. All of a sudden, all this time, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and this is this great opportunity. And
so he's like, I can eat swans now? Well, no, your cholesterol's too high. He's like, oh, fuck.
Eat swans. Well, I shouldn't make jokes, but obviously, you know. Look, well, I hope you don't wish ill on anyone.
On anyone, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You've got a terrible scratching happening every now and again.
I do.
It's a beard on a mic or whether it's a cable.
Sorry. I'm having a cord issue. I'll try to figure that out.
No worries.
I can go down with the other podcasts who have audio issues, so
yes, you know? Less said about that the better. I think I did 40 minutes of a podcast last night.
I wasn't even talking about you, sorry
Amateur hour, definitely. So what's been going on with you anyway?
It's been good. We've been doing some new things in the shop. I've been trying to do better reels. I started doing these reels like 2 weeks ago where, you know, the funny thing is trying to get more engagement, try to figuring out what to do. I used to do these longer reels, and no one's watching. You look at the statistics, no one's watching them. And you start to do more stuff that's like show people how to do things. And the only people who get anything out of it are the fucking criminal knife makers who just steal your shit. So, like, I'm not getting any, like, I don't need, I mean, God bless the knife making community, but it's like, these motherfuckers are taken. They ain't helping me. So I started to do these. I did this like last year. I did this thing where I took all the ingredients and then I did this kind of edit where I threw it on the anvil and then it kind of turned into an anvil. By the time it got the anvil, it turned into what it was supposed to be. And I figured
I've seen a few of them you've done now. Yes.
Well, now I've done them 2 weeks in a row at one every day. And I've noticed my engagement is way better. And I was talking to Chris Zepp for a long time about it. He really likes them. And it's like, it's like maximum juice, minimum squeeze. Yeah. So I'm not doing all these. I was fooling around with editing for a while, especially before Christmas, and I enjoyed doing it. But it was like all these vignettes and all this fucking stuff. It's just it's not what I want to do. And now I found something.
And it's a lot of work too, isn't it?
It's a lot of work. So I figured out something that's a minimum work, maximum viewage, and I'm getting new viewers and I'm getting more newer people, which is what I want. And I've been getting a lot of nice words from friends of ours, like Riley Kirkpatrick sent me a nice message, and he does an awesome job on Instagram. And I talked to Chris quite a bit in regards to things I can do, clean and stuff up. And it's been really good. And it's been good. And I'm trying to figure out if doing one a day is a good idea or not. It's been good. So I'm going to just go till Sunday, and then I'll decide if I'm going to just like kind of lean back a little bit, but I could see consistent posting and, you know, nothing too long, you know, under 20 seconds, you know, and I've been getting nice numbers from not only, the analytics from Instagram Meta, but good analytics from the business.
So people like, are heading off to your website then as well.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I had this conversation with this young woman who may or may not be working with us, and she was trying to figure out ways in which to grow our social media. And I said, well, that's not really what I don't want people to. I don't need people to go to the social media. I need people to go to the website. Social media just happens to be one of those things that's the vessel to get you there. So it's like, you know, I'm trying to be more aggressive, especially in the beginning part of the year, because I want to really start Fader Knives strong. I don't want to, like, you know, I want a good strong start, because you know there are parts of the year that it's not very good. And it's been fun, and you know the weather's starting to change, it's warming up a little bit, so that's kind of nice too.
Good stuff. So how many copycats have you already seen doing this, throwing the ingredients?
It's not copycat. I mean, listen, you know, the knife making community, they're great, and it's like, if you guys want to, you do whatever you want. They're having a good time. I know rainy day forge was doing something, and then pickle cutter did something, and God bless them, good luck. My suggestion to everybody, and this is to knife makers in general, is go on your own path. You know, I think we get too involved. Everybody gets too involved with trends and, well, this is working for him. Let me do it. You know, people were ripping off Alex Steele's YouTube videos for years and Jimmy's videos for years. And I feel as though maybe there should be this degree of everyone being like, okay, you know, fun is fun, but let me be on my own path and be, you know, consistent for my customers instead of, you know, doing videos for other knife makers and just doing like basically a circle jerk for the knife making community. Well, that's what it is. You know, it's just
you're right. You are.
You know,
right.
It's like, I don't do videos for, I did this one video where I did one reel where I did offset serrated serrations, and it was like, oh my God, so many people were asking me a million questions. I was just like, is this really what I want to be doing? I want to be teaching people. You want to come teach? I'll teach you. Come to class. It's fine, but it's not really what I'm going to do. And I forgot. We're trying to do some more collaborations with our chefs and stuff like that. And there's this local baker, and he's a dynamite guy, and his name's Hudson Ovens. His name's Chase, and he's got this Instagram is Hudson Ovens. And he does this really cool thing. Basically, he takes an armoire and he'll bring it somewhere in Westchester County and plant it and fill it with bread. And he'll have like a lockbox inside.
What's an armoire?
Like a, like a where you put your fucking clothes. You know, armoire. You know, armoire.
Never heard of an armoire before. It sounds French too, but I've never heard of it.
It's like a big cabinet for your clothing.
Okay,
you know, like a wardrobe. He carries this old wardrobe, and he'll put it somewhere. It could be up by the river in a river town. It could be in the woods, and then he'll post about it. People show up. It's like a scavenger hunt, and then there's bread.
Wow.
And then you pay what you want, and it's become a real big thing in Westchester. And he does a lot of great bread. And he just came to the shop, and we're going to do a kind of a collaborate. It's the first time I've ever really kind of collaborated with another company. And he's going to have knives in his shop, and I really like him, and he's not too far from me. And it's kind of like a very organic collaboration as opposed to some of these forced hostage situations.
Yeah. No, it all sounds good. And yeah, less of a time suck. So you're not there teaching people all
right.
Day.
Well, I mean, all you know, good. So it's good for him. It's good for me. You know, the reels have been good. And shout out to our friend Dennis Terrell and Jared Sandoval. They have a new podcast out called Triple T for Knife Makers. This is their good. Dennis is an awesome guy. Jared's great at face chemistry. And we wish them well. It's a great opportunity to listen to something a little bit different from what we do. And somebody asked me if I had any opinions, and I said, it's like going to a brand new restaurant. You don't go in and start reviewing after they just open up them. Give them some time, and But if I were to say one thing, Dennis,
you have opinions.
Dennis,
okay.
You just get closer. Well, this is a podcasting thing. Dennis, get closer to your microphone. When you're back out like this, like far out, it becomes more echoey. And it's the same goes for you, Nick Tobin. Get your fucking ass next to that microphone on Work For a Podcast. You never know. I mean, we've listened to Brian House. He's had a number of different co-hosts. He cut some of them dorks loose. You never know. He'll fix your microphone. You'll fix your microphone. Brian ain't afraid of change, my brother.
Just as an aside, Jeff, whilst you're saying this, your microphone's crackling like hell. I don't know what's going on.
Sorry. My bad.
Let's have a quick word from one of our sponsors, and maybe you can fix that mic.
Indulge in a sweet, salty European staple that's as unique as it is delicious with Miss Vicky's vagina lollies. Each lolly is intricately dipped deep to ensure a fresh floral flavour that is sure to delight your taste buds. Order now and use promo code KNIFETALK10 for 10% off your next purchase of Pussy Pops today.
Flavors vary. Odor or discoloration may occur. May contain hair or lint. Not responsible for transmittable diseases.
There you go.
May contain hair or lint.
There you go.
Let be a warning to you all.
There you go. Knife Talk 10. Make your friends. Honestly, guys, most of you guys are listening to you. All your friends are men. You don't want mint. You want to make sure they know that you smell a little bit different. You know what I'm saying?
So if you're in the car driving to work and you may have your wife beside you, and she's like, do you listen to this podcast all the time? You're like, yeah. What the hell is that? None of my doing, okay? What? Just to be clear, none of my doing. Kyle, all down to you.
Shout out to Kyle Heath.
You did a good job. That was good.
Can't get much better than that.
Shall we get on to some questions?
Let's do it.
Okay. LCA Knife Works. Hey, y'all. At what point in a customer interaction do you charge your retainer down payment? I'm sick and tired of going through the whole spiel. What pattern knife, what handle material, going back and forth, tweaking drawings, etc. Sometimes for days, only for them to say, never mind, at the end of the interaction. At what point do you let your customer know that my time is worth something? And he thinks, thank you all, and keep grinding.
That's a tough one.
Works. It is, and I think if you're doing custom work, it's part of the job, isn't it? You know, it is a difficult one, and I think maybe if you set the stall at the beginning and say, look, I can give you what I like to do with people, not just with knives, whenever you're sort of providing something that could be creative, give them maybe two or three options. You know, say maybe we could tweak a little bit, but you know, these are your options, and sort of spell it and almost tell them what they want. But it is difficult, particularly if you're going down that road and you put a fair few hours in, but it gets to the point where you need this to pay off, otherwise you're in the hole a bit, you know? It's difficult. So, yeah, I'd, What do you do, Jeff?
Well, one of the tricky things, and we just had this recently, is when someone seems to think that you're like a Xerox machine, that they give you something that they want, and then you can just, you magically do it. So then there's this like back and forth. We had a guy who wanted us to replicate a knife that he loves. And I said, I can do my version of it, and this is what it looks like. And part of the reason is because you've also, LCA Knife Works is very, you know, you've done this before. You know what works for your knives. Like, if you do something that is different than you normally do, they're kind of hoping there's no R&D involved. I made knives that just like some of the designs over time, it's just like, it didn't work. So when you're doing something out of the chute that's completely different than what you normally do, I think it can be a tricky mistake. I think right off the bat, the most important thing is to say up front, here's how this works. And if you want to continue, this is what we do. When you start to do the whole, all right, I'll do a couple drawings, and I'll do a couple more drawings, and then all of a sudden they're just like, yeah, I changed my mind, I don't want it anymore. Or, I mean, my wife got a car accident, and she was listening to this podcast about pussy fucking mints, and it crashed the car. And then now the problem is I can't pay it anymore.
She broke my arm because of the ad I was listening to.
She punched me in the face, and I can't do it anymore because Kyle Heath, it's all Kyle Heath's fault. My suggestion is don't let it get down that far. And I think that once again, a number, you know, I would say about when we first started this podcast, there was far more knife makers saying, oh, you never take deposits or you never take it up front. And it's like, you hear it over and over in this vacuum chamber of other knife makers. And it's like, there was no other business like that. Any kind of fabrication work, a railing job, or think about it like any kind of metal work, is you get a down payment and then there's a progress payment. In construction, you get you don't think they build a house and then they get paid at the end? It doesn't work like that. Any job where there's a customized ability. Sheetrockers, my roof, when I had to get my roof redone, we had to give them a downpipe payment, and we had a payment at the end. Just, you know, set the rules up straight. And I would be in a position of not letting you get that far. One of the things I had to deal with when Allison first started was I tried to explain to her, we have to minimize the amount of emails in order to get the sales. And a part of it wasn't just because she wasn't being efficient, but it's like, we cannot draw people down for months. And then all of a sudden there'd be no payoff. You have to understand that the best thing you can do is see this as a red flag that you notice later.
That expectation's there anyway then as well. If you're sort of 10 emails in and there's no order, it could go on forever. You know, they think this is just what you do.
You know, funny enough is... Oh, sorry, you were saying?
No, you're right. Yeah, I'm just agreeing with you, basically.
Funny enough, we were saying, you know, before Christmas, I did this bit saying, spot, you know, read off your red flags. And... part of that was like, the whole idea is when you see a red flag, what that's supposed to do is that's supposed to trigger you to know that, okay, I know what to do the next time this happens. And that is the beginning stages of experience. Because, you know, as the expression says, you hit your head with a hammer 100,000 times and you're expecting the outcome to be different. That's the definition of insanity. And that's really, you have to see these things and realize that I can't let this happen every time a customer sends me a message. It's just ridiculous. So I am all for deposits. Frankly, we do all in. Like we rarely do, if it's like a big set or something like that, we'll do deposit. But usually you're all in. Once we figure out what you're paying for the whole thing, and then I'm making it. So, we don't have to hunt people down. That's bullshit too.
And you're doing the opposite now as well, really, aren't you? You're getting stock on your site. So it's there. You buy, you get it.
It has been such a change, because having stock, and now this is the first time we've had the most variety. Now when we make knives, and we're not doing a signature series this year because, you know, last year was a bummer. I mean, last year didn't take off the way we were hoping. And we just kind of cut it loose at the end of the year, and we're going to focus on having different things in stock of all the different things that we make. And now we can change up. This week we're making 5 chef knives and a couple of utility knives. Last week we did a pile of forks. Next thing we're going to do. So we're able to kind of have variety. But I would highly suggest LCA is, and to other knife makers listening to this, is if you know what you do, don't start taking on shit that you don't know what you don't know about, because it becomes, unless that's what you want, there's too much R&D, and then they don't really pay for the R&D, and maybe it's not the real exact way they want.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Makes sense. Okay. Do you want to take Cody Myers just after this little ad break?
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
All right, Cody Myers. Oh, if you want to send us a message or feedback, or we have listener feedback. We also have to get to. I had, because the Super Bowl is this week. This episode will be coming out on Monday. We're recording on Thursday, and I have Super Bowl predictions from some of our listeners, so they can be studs if they're right, or losers if they're wrong.
So is that this weekend?
It's this weekend, but I have their predictions for this weekend. So go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and then you can interact with the show. Cody Myers says, how do you feel about other makers asking you for prices on your work when they don't have the intentions of buying and have never spoken to you before? That's a good one. Good question.
It's a good one, but it's a strange question, because we get the very similar question every week, really, of how much should I charge for this? And this is basically saying the same thing, isn't it?
I've had knife makers that would be very friendly, and then they've said to me, what's your pricing? And I'll give them the pricing, and then they'll say, oh, I can charge more than that. You know? And it's like...
as if it's a flex.
It's like, you know, I understand that people asking you questions as like some type of data. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, if you put the work in, you could find out what people's prices are anyway, surely, you know, as soon as they put them up online and that kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, just don't be dicks, isn't it? You know, don't be dicks.
But the problem is like, I think that a lot of people in this new business, it's for most people, this is a new business. They don't really have an idea. They don't really have an idea of their worth, and then they think of other guys. And if everybody starts to think about them in relationship to fucking Mareko, who can charge thousands for his work, you're crazy. You know, it's like everything is. I know that when Tony and I first started working on our pricing, we did not look at what other people are doing, and it was like, how much does this cost? How much is it going to cost us to do? What can we do? Where can we, you know, where can we trim the fat and stuff like that? And where is it going to be profitable for us?
Yeah. Well, how would it work for you? Because you're going to have a different circumstance to others.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of which, is we just, at the beginning of the year, Tony and Allison said to me, some of the knives that we haven't sold, like the Cosmic Drift, we're going to discount. And the EDCs we're going to discount. How do you feel about it? I'm like, whatever. I mean, it's here, ready to go. Let's send it out. So we made some discounts and some sales, and it was based on the fact that they're just sitting there, and we want to get them out. We want to get sales, and we try not to nickel and dime everything we do, and it's more about sales in terms of how our business is running. So,
yeah.
But it can be really. There's a lot of times where knife makers, they ask questions, and it's clearly for their own interest, and you can be helpful, but at the same time, it's like there's this weird expectation that you owe them something, and that's when it gets fucking weird. And we get a lot of that, frankly, and
I think it's worth thinking specifically for this question as well, that the value of something isn't necessarily in line with the quality of something. There's so many factors to take into account. Well, you know, where you are, there may be a sort of a maker community and people are used to buying from makers, or you may live in an area where, you know, there's no other makers, and it's not the done thing for people to do anyway. They'll just go to a supermarket or whatever. So, you know, your pricing is going to be very different. Or conversely, again, you may be in an area where there's other makers, and you may be just, there's just so much going on that it's difficult to get your work out there as well. So, yeah, it's that old answer of it depends, isn't it?
And
it depends.
And getting business advice from other knife makers who are generally speaking not, I'm saying this respectfully, but I mean, some of you guys are brain dead. Is that respectful? Is that disrespectful?
Like, it's not at all. I'll put myself in that category, but you're right.
I mean,
you're right.
I mean, yeah. I hate to say it, but I mean, I respectfully, some of you are brain dead. I'm just joking around, but I like other, I mean, that's the reason why I have a business partner who's not in the knife game at all. And he's just a business guy. And it's interesting is because I've had conversations with other business people who wanted to get involved with knife makers. I had one friend of mine who's a dynamite business guy who is in the kitchen utensil business. And he's just like,
okay. So not literally dynamite. He doesn't sell TNT.
No,
okay,
that would be good too. Right, okay. But this guy is like, he knows all about, you know, the kitchen utility business. And he's like, I wanted to get involved with a couple knife makers, but they're not going to like what I have to say. And they're not going to like what I have to say in terms of what the expectations are in terms of them as, you know, as micro manufacturers of a product that we can try to make some money off of.
Yeah.
So I would, just be aware of, you know, I don't ask another knife makers for business questions. I'm terrible today. I apologize. Am I less cracky?
90% of the time you're fine, but when you talk loud, it's cracking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. JH Knife Shop. Good morning, gentlemen. I primarily sell through word of mouth and Facebook. I go to one show a year, and that's coming up in a few weeks. Assuming I sell a few knives at the show, I'd like to invest in the equipment to heat treat stainless steel. Right now, all I do is 1084 carbon. I have an even heat kiln. I plan on buying a quench plates, heat treaters foil, and a liquid nitrogen tank. What advice would you give to someone on their first time heat treating stainless? What equipment and what am I forgetting? What type of stainless would you recommend? And he says, thanks, Jacob.
This is our bread and butter right here, Craig.
Yeah, we can handle
you
this.
You and
one.
I can handle this 100%.
Who needs Marecco, eh?
I mean, don't talk about integral bolsters, but fine. What do you think, my brother?
I think you've got the equipment. You've got an even heat. You're 90% of the way there. It's far easier and less daunting than you think. You mentioned everything you need: quench plates, foil, and a tank. If you can do nitro as well, you're there. You've got everything you need. Just be methodical, take your time. You're working with some really high heats. Get everything ready. Do a couple of practice runs on cold stuff to make sure you know you've got everything at hand. You're there. Don't worry. Really don't worry. He says about what type of stainless would you recommend? What would you recommend as a first stainless? Well,
there's a couple things that I would just have in mind. Number one is, in terms of stainless, 440C is bomb proof. It's super duper easy to heat treat. I've recently started to really dial in the AEBL. Not recently, the past year and a half, I love AEBL. I love AEBL because it heat treats great, it holds great edge, and it's not as wear resistant on the belts as 440C. 440C is a bitch. There's a couple things that I would just point out. One is, I was talking to Spence over at Even Heat. The guys who do a lot of stainless steel, so you're bringing your oven to a higher temperature. It's usually in the 1950 degree area. The higher you go for longer periods of time, you have to be aware that your thermocoupler might go after a while, like a couple years. Like, I got a couple years out. I changed my thermocouple. It's just like it's a super duper tiny little thing that goes through the top.
Two wires, drop it in.
Yeah. 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 But those high heats can also, you have more wear on your thermocoupler than if it was just going to 1500 degrees. That's number one. Number two is have more than two sets of plates. I actually just got the rapid quench plate system from Brian House, and it's really, really great. It's a clamping system, and then you route out things so you can have your air directly going through one of the plates. It's actually a really, really, really cool for smaller knives. It's a dynamite tool. You got to have your air compressor. You got to have a good air compressor because you can't be doing multiple knives with like a tiny air compressor. But you should have separate sets of plates. And the reason why is because to do three, if you, let's say you had three sets, one set of plate for four knives, by the time the fourth knife gets in there, your plates are super duper hot and you're never going to convert the austenite to martensite. So I always have at least 3 to 4 different sets of plates to kind of cool down. There are certain 440C doesn't necessarily need cryo. And if you get knife engineering by Laren Thomas, he has all the ranges of how to heat treat stainless to make your life a lot easier. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, well, I've been using Sandvik stuff, and that's the only stainless I've really done. That's the 12C27 and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's far easier than you'd ever imagine. Yeah. I mean, you just covered everything you need. But yeah, as you say, you are working with much, much higher temperatures. So you've got sort of less wiggle room. You need to get that quenched as quickly as you can. So just make sure everything's at hand. As I say, do a cold run just to make sure. And you'll be good. Get plenty of plasters, because if you're going to be using that foil, you're going to be cutting yourself. So get yourself some Dharma steel, because they'll send you plasters. They know what it's like. But yeah, it's just take your time. You just mentioned Dr. Laren's book about temperatures. But when it actually comes to the practicality of doing it, there's plenty of really good videos online. Walter Sorrell's got a really good one of just the actual practicality of how you know, the movements required. And yeah, it's easy. It's easy. You'll be fine.
We can go a little bit farther on stainless, because we don't really do that much stainless talk. I know Craig and Craig, you use quench plates, right? Or do you quench it all?
Yes, quench plates.
So
yes. Yeah.
You, I would assume that when you're heat treating full thickness.
Yes. Yeah. I probably done only about 2 or 3 knives, but I've ground them first. Simply because it was just always giving me issues. So yeah, just full thickness and yeah.
That's what's interesting about the stainless is you know, so the whole reason why people use foil pouches, there are a couple things. Let's do a little stainless talk. So when you buy the foil, it's not like aluminum foil, it's special stainless steel foil. There's 2 different grades. One goes to a certain temperature and another one goes to a lower temperature. Usually the lower temperature is a little bit cheaper, but it's going to a temperature that's higher than the highest you're going to go. So like if you have a temperature that goes to 2000, if you have a foil that goes to 2000 degrees and it's, you know, an X amount of dollars, and then there's a foil that goes to 2500 degrees that's more, you're not going to go to 2500 degrees. So why would you pay more for a more expensive foil? So if you're only going to 1950, see what the rating is, and then that's the foil for you. When you're heat treating different thicknesses of steel, 1/8 inch, you never have to worry about warping. It never warps. 3/32nds, sometimes you have to be very aware. And the hard part is about fixing warps when you're using stainless. If it's in a foil pouch, it's hard to, you can't really look down the barrel and see if it's straight or not. The one thing you have to do is you have to make sure that the steel, before you heat treat, you have to make it straight going into the pouch. So if it's warped going into the pouch, there's a very good chance it's going to stay warped when it comes out of the quench. So I always straighten everything on the money. I usually have a problem when I'm heat treating long 16th inch steel, because I feel like there's some like tension in the steel before I get it, if I get it water jet cut, and that kind of, the plates aren't going to guarantee you're going to be straight. I think that's a misnomer. For 1/8 inch steel, like a lot of guys who do bushcraft stuff and they're using 1/8 inch steel, you never really see any warps on like a 7 or 8 inch knife. But like if you're doing a 15 inch blade and or 13 inches all day and a 16th inch, there's a good chance you're going to get it warped. So you also have to get to a point where you take the quench and then you get it below a certain temperature, you cut it out of the foil, pull out of the foil, and then you can straighten it a little bit while it's warm, like under 700 degrees. It's just like you would if you were straightening a carbon steel knife. So you just got to like, there are little things that you're just going to have to learn, but it sounds like he's got everything he really needs. Don't use his scissors. I mean, don't use his scissors to cut the foil. That's bullshit. No.
We've mentioned foil there, but there are certain compounds you can use as well to sort of paint on the blade. And the purpose of that is to make it inert, so there's no oxygen on the blade. So I was really worried the first time I was using foil, reading stories of, well, there's going to be air in there, you know. And you see little tricks that people do, you know, little balls of tissue and so on, because when they get to a certain temperature, they'll ignite and they'll burn off any oxygen that are in the packet. But I think when we spoke to Dr. Lauren Thomas, I think he said it's so little, there's nothing really to worry about. But I used to love doing it anyway, because you get these amazing patterns.
Right.
You get these like blues and these little explosions of pattern, which obviously you grind away anyway. But it's a bit of fun for the day, you know? But yeah, you don't have to use foil. You can use these compounds. I didn't have any. I've tried twice, didn't have any success with them at all, and it's just messy. So I found foil to be a lot cleaner. But yeah, I think Jeff's got a really good tip about getting some sort of crimp in the edges as well. You made a special tool, or you have a special tool for that?
For the foil, is like, I mean, if you use a scissors to cut stainless foil, I mean, you might as well just put your hand in a wood chipper. It's just like everything about it's bad. So what I started to do, because the worst cuts I've ever gotten, it's those cuts where they're so thin that it's like the ninja movies where the cut and then you don't see it, then the fucking pineapple slips in two. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, it's like madness. So
they're razors. They're just razors. You're playing with razors.
I mean, there's nothing sharper than a cutting foil. So what I started to do was, when we cut foil, I mark it, and then I get rolls of it, and then we'll use a straight edge, like a razor knife. And then we'll actually use the razor knife to cut it. We'll have a straight edge, and then I'll use a razor knife. Don't start the cut with the razor knife. When you start the edge, put the razor knife in, pierce like an eighth of an inch before the edge, and then that'll make sure that you don't pull. Because what happens is if your knife is dull, it'll pull and it'll make a wrinkle, and then you're fucked. So you have you put it in when you start to make the cut, and then you pull it, you cut all the way through, and then you come back, and then you nip off that little eighth of an inch. And then I got for painters, there's a stretcher tool, and you have a stretcher, a wooden stretcher, and then you get canvas, and then you have this thing. It looks like a pliers, but it's got a wide mouth. And then the job is so you can pull the canvas, and then you can staple it. It's very wide, and they're great. And I use that to crimp over, and then do the pouches. But and the stainless is going up. The price of the stainless foil is going up. I'm starting to get from the same place, the same price, and the rolls are smaller. So, you know, just be aware.
And it's not cheap stuff either. Yeah. So.
Yeah. 50 feet of it for 2 feet by 50 feet was like $200, $190, something like that. So, you know, it's.
But Jacob, you've got everything you need. Just take it slowly. You'll be fine. And most importantly, you do have...
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
Last pro tip is if you're deciding to get your liquid nitrogen filled, when you get your Dewar, they'll only fill what it is. So if it's a 20-liter Dewar, you can't just say, all right, just give me 10 liters. They fill it to what it is. Start to befriend the liquid nitrogen guy, because a lot of times they understand that by the time you get home, you're going to lose some of it, and it's expensive in the United States. So befriend them, and sometimes they'll, they only charge you for 15 or charge you for 10 liters when you have 20. And that's important, is make friends. Bring donuts to the fucking liquid nitrogen guy.
Jade Curtis, question. If I was going to name a style of knife and another make uses a same name, should I change mine? I'm also looking forward to seeing, I think that says Mareko, at the Hammerin and DMC. And that's Jade Curtis. So if I was going to make a style of knife and another make uses a same name, should I change mine? Yeah. Basically. Why would you want to sort of copy the same style of knife and have the same name? I don't know why you'd want to. It seems a bit strange.
Yeah.
Less confusion and less trouble down the line. Just change
names. Are tough. When you're, you know, the cool thing about the fun part about the, probably one of the fun part about the knife making is to kind of creating the story behind the knife. And part of that is naming it. You got to name it something. You kind of want something that people recognize or they know. Like Aaron Goff is the Resolute Mark III. I mean, that's, you know, that's badass. There are other people who may. I try to name my. I used to name my knives like the way I used to name sculpture, because the name is important. Like, that was one of the things I learned in art school from the sculptor of Stephen Ralph Powell. He used to say, the names are as important as the work itself, because it means you care. And when you start to say untitled and stuff like that, it just doesn't really, it's just bullshit. It's like, it doesn't really, you have to create a name for this thing. So that's actually should be the most fun part about the whole thing. You know?
Yeah. I used to love doing like videos for each knife, giving it its complete sort of personality. Yeah. So it'd have a name and it would have this one-off video. I used to love it, and I used to just as much as making the knives, in the whole thing. But yeah, if somebody else is doing the same style with that name, just keep away from it.
Naming anything is hard, because it's almost as if like all the names have gone. You know, all the names are gone. You know, all the, you know, it's like. But in my mind, I think of people who have great names for knives, and Tom Nugent's got the chickpea, and he's got these like names that are like they're great names for knives. And you know, I know Baldman Knife and Tool's got the thicker clipper that, you know, kind of rolls off the tongue. And there's all sorts of. I love naming knives, and it gets me a little bit crazy when. I try not to do something that's too basic, but at the same time I try not to think too hard on it. Yeah, if somebody's doing the same name knife as you, is you might as well just like, I mean, like last week we had our conversation, the Florida Man Forge was having problems with a guy named Ford. It's either, what are you going to do? You going to tell him to cut it out, or are you going to just be a little bit more creative? Execute creativity, that's what I say.
There we go. Okay, do you want to
Yes,
next?
This is from Bayard Blit Knives. Bayard Knives. Question for Knife Talk. I'm setting up a new workshop that will have a small, separate, dirty room containing my grinder, drill press, and metal bandsaw. I have a portable dust extractor for when shaping handles, and a bucket of water for sparks when grinding steel. What's the best economical way to improve the air quality in that space? I've never isolated the dirty work into one room before, so I'm unsure how nasty it's going to be in there. Definitely looking forward to the rest of the workshop staying significantly less dusty. Thanks for all that you helped in the community, and thanks for the laughs. Aaron Bayard, Bayard Knives.
So you can get the air scrubber things that you put up on the ceiling, and when you leave each evening, you know, run it for an hour or whatever, and it'll scrub the air for you. But if you're having a particularly hard day of doing your handles, for example, it can get pretty bad. So do what I do and just spunk it all out the window.
I know. Fuck it out the window. He got a hole, an extractor fan, and it just dumps.
Extractor fan and a hole, and I spunk it out into the field.
Yeah. I always just imagine this one sheep that's just like covered in covered in dust and shit. And
the Coco Bolo Ram.
That's the name of the podcast. The Coco Bolo Ram. Look at you. The Coco Bolo Ram.
Let's make a note.
I love it.
The Coco Bolo Ram.
The old Coco Bolo Ram. Oh, baby. Yeah. That's got a lot going on, that name. People are going to have a lot to think about what this is all about. But
what do you do, Jeff? Do you have a confined area for your grinding? Or is it just part of the bigger shop?
Once again, my experience in all this is different. I've always considered this to be a metal shop. So I've been in metal shops where shit gets dirty and you got to clean it up. Yeah. So I don't get too hung up on that. Because we use a lot of G10, I have figured out ways in which to cut the dust down, and using a tile saw for a wet saw for the G10 has changed my life. Because I'm not spraying dust around. I don't have to open the doors. I'm getting cleaner cuts, but the real thing is there's zero dust when you use a tile saw for G10. Not so much when you're grinding it, but if you're taking the maximum, you know, you're taking a big chunk of that dust out of the air. We have an fact that I plug in when we're not using steel. I shoot steel straight into a bucket of water. It's just the way it works for me, and I use a respirator. Especially when I'm using when we're grinding handles, I have I also have an extractor fan to kind of, if it's a little too fumey, we turn that on too. So I don't really like do the negative space backpack.
Yeah, the
shit.
Positive air pressure and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, you know, I mean, I've done...
They're good. They're good, particularly in hot weather. They're great.
Metalwork for 30 years, and, like, I've been down the road of... I mean, the black boogers are gone. I used to come home and blow my nose in the shower, and it was, like, disaster area. But since I've kind of gotten older and a little bit wiser, I don't have that ever. I never have black boogs. So it's like, I feel like I'm doing something right.
Whoa, black boogers, bam, bam.
Oh, black boogers, Coca-Cola ram. Oh.
Black boogers and Coca-Cola ram.
Black boogers and black boogers, Coca-Cola ram. Oh, Coca-Cola ram.
Right, let me tell everybody about TexasFireSupply.com. Anything you need, they've got it all there, whether you're a bladesmith, a knife maker, or a farrier. They've got separate areas of the store. Everything we mentioned, they've always got it there. But the most important thing that they do is the Rhino-Wet by Indasa. Any sort of hand sanding that you do, make sure you're using Rhino-Wet. Do yourself a favor. It's the only stuff that's worth using. Indasa Rhino-Wet is available at TexasFireSupply.com. If you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off the entire order. So whatever you put in your cart there, worth taking a look. TexasFireSupply.com.
Texas Ferry Supply also submitted their Super Bowl predictions.
Yeah. Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. So who's playing?
So,
Taylor Swift and... Yeah,
well, that's the joke. It's like, this year has been so interesting. I've followed football. I've been following sports. I've been having a really good time following sports. So the Kansas...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
City Chiefs are they're an awesome football team. This is they're definitely Patrick Mahomes is a Hall of Fame foot. He will go down most likely if he keeps on the progression that he is better than Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So in his wide receiver is Travis Kelce, who has been dating Taylor Swift, and they are playing the 49ers with Brock Purdy, a young quarterback who is, you know, look, he's a great quarterback, and, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. They whip the B-Cone, but they beat the brakes off the Lions. The Lions were supposed to turn everything around, and they got their ass whipped by the 49ers. So it's going to be the 49ers and the... the Chiefs. But the whole Taylor Swift thing has become so fascinating because she started dating Travis Kelce. She went to every single game. So there's 16 weeks of football, or 17 weeks, and then there's playoffs and all this. She went to every goddamn game. Goddamn game.
Whilst on a world tour. And whilst finishing another album, which she's just launched, this week. As well.
So a lot of people felt like it was a PR stunt because the NFL loved it because all of a sudden you have these new fans, all these, you know, everyone's making these jokes. He's like, I'm rooting for Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team. You know, it's like, you know, there's people are making t-shirts saying, you know, I'm rooting for Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team and stuff like that. And then, you know, the big thing in the beginning was people were mad because these women all of a sudden were showing interest in football, and they were turning to their boyfriends and saying, you know, Taylor Swift really made Travis Kelce. And the crazy thing is Travis Kelce is one of the best wide receivers of all time. He's going to go down in the Hall of Fame as one of the best wide receivers of all time. But all these guys are getting so mad because these women are saying, you know, if it wasn't for Taylor Swift, no one would know who Travis Kelce was. And these dudes are getting so fucking mad. They're throwing their wives out, or their girlfriends, their wives out of them. Don't watch football with me anymore. So it'll be cool. It'll be, It'll be neat. It'll be neat to see.
What's your prediction then?
I cannot see the Chiefs losing. I've been watching. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the cool, funny thing about Patrick Mahomes is, do you ever watch that show? What is it? You know, Danny McBride, the comedian Danny McBride. It was like Down and Out and something or other. He was like he played this like a gym teacher with like a mullet, and the comedian's Danny McBride. This guy sounds just like him, so it's just like kind of like a Kermit the Frog situation. So I have the Chiefs winning. It's probably gonna be a high scoring game. I think it's probably gonna be like 30. I'm gonna go 32 for the Chiefs and probably like 26 for the 49ers. So
yes, that's pretty close.
But it's gonna be high scoring. I think this is gonna be a high scoring game, and it's gonna be fun, and it's gonna be real fun. So.
Let's double down then. You said we've had Texas Fire Supply that they've made a prediction.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, you got to put me on the spot. So I had a screen cap. Number four is some of our listeners are jokesters. A lot of our listeners, as I expected, had some jokes. I just need to find his. His is in a different spot. I couldn't actually. So Texas Fire Supply says, obviously the Cowboys are still going to win, right? That was his prediction. So congratulations, Texas Ferry Supply. The Cowboys suck again. They're not even close. They didn't even make it. So that's the Texas Ferry Supply's prediction. He's rooting for the Cowboys. Cowboys earned it. Congratulations. Yeah, it wasn't even funny. So you know what I'm saying? So we can do listener feedback, or we can keep going, whatever you want.
Let's do it. Let's just listen to feedback.
So once again, guys, if you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, you can send us your listener feedback. You can send us ideas. This is a great one for Hubris Knife Workshop. Every once in a while, we'll have a listener submit a great bit. I know that Nice Handmade Knives has been like a monster, giving us great bit ideas for the listeners. This is a good one. This is from Hubris Workshop. Hubris Workshop. Hey, gents, I have an idea for a potential new bit. Shit lazy knife makers say. For instance, here's a quote: I'll fix that scratch in the next grit. That's a pretty good one. Or yeah. I don't need Parks 50. Canola oil is just as good. That's another good one. And my personal favorite is I always leave a few mistakes in my blade so the customer knows they're handmade. Any and always.
Yeah. I don't want it to be too good.
Yeah. Wabi sabi. I want it to look like wabi sabi. And all the ways in which to cope with cutting corners. As always, much appreciate the show. Keep up the good work. Signed, Connie Lingus. So nice. So that is actually a pretty good bit. The bit would be, send in your, if you're listening to this, send in the quotes that you hear all the time. Oh, it's almost like whenever you hear all the time, it's like, knife makers don't make broken knives, they make shorter knives. That's it. That would be it. That would fit under that, like, horse shit, that fucking bullshit expression.
Trying to make a rainbow when it rains, basically. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Submit in for the lazy knife maker sayings. Not the lazy knife maker sayings. Let's say knife maker sayings. Insult everybody.
Not just the lazy way.
Okay. So like, Oh, my dad was famous for saying it's good enough. That's good enough. And then people used to break his balls. He's like, oh yeah, Ben Fader, it's good. That's good enough. You know.
Alpha job.
JVB Knives Canada says, maybe here's a beef. I want to send you a beef. I don't know if there's time. My beef is with people who bring a grocery bag of knives to get sharpened. All the knives in their flimsy bag. How am I supposed to give them back in the same flimsy ass bag?
Do you ever
get people send you knives to kind of like clean up? And you're always...
No, never. That's never, ever happened to me.
Once in a while, I'll get somebody who wants something fixed. Or like I just had a woman who broke the tip off of her knife. And I send them in a... You know, I make Kydex sheaths. Every one of my knives comes with Kydex sheaths. So I just assume that you can just wrap it in Kydex... You know, put it back in the Kydex sheath, wrap it up, and, you know, it shouldn't... When you're packing anything, it shouldn't rattle around the box. That's like, that's always a problem. So I'm always surprised at how things are sent to me. usually I've had recently a guy took two garbage bags, wrapped the knife in the garbage bag, and then stuffed it in the box. It's rattling around in there. I've had it all. I've seen it all. I've had it all. And it's like, there's no care whatsoever in regards to how it goes. And it's just almost like this, like two grocery bags. Guy took this brown paper grocery bag, wrapped it in the grocery bag, wrapped another grocery bag, and then shoved it in an Amazon box. It was rattling around in that thing. And so,
Jesus.
I hate that.
Crazy. Yeah. But it's like when you go to other people's houses, though, and you see how they store their knives and how they treat their stuff. You just think, fucking
hell. Like, it'll generally speaking also be someone who's very nitpicky, you know, like somebody who's very like needs a lot of like white glove service. And that's always to me just like, you know, when I send our packages, I'm not smushing it into a flat rate box or a box. Like I want, when I get to the post office, I want it to be clean and crisp, and I want it to have no dents, and I want it to look like it was like taken care of. You send a the one thing you don't want is you don't want to start sending your work out. Like, no offense. Years ago, I was talking to my our old friend, Spicy Mike. Remember Spicy Mike?
Yes.
Spicy Mike. Yeah, God bless Spicy Mike. I'm with you 100%. Spicy Mike was nice enough to send me some hot sauce. That's why he's Spicy Mike. He makes hot sauce. Forge and Fire champion. Fucking guy is a good dynamite gut dude. He sent it to me in an old, like a soda case, a case for soda. Like it was like, like you take your 12 sodas out.
Oh, ripped
you
up.
Take your 12 sodas out. He just shoved it in the, so I, on the porch, there's like a fucking Dr. Pepper case. And it was like garbage stuff inside. And then deep in the bowels of this Dr. Pepper case was some hot sauce. So
Madness.
That's not the best way to like, to send things. You know, I think you should be a little bit more considerate. But I'm with Spicy Mike, man. Sure. He makes a badass hot sauce, by the way.
Yes, yes. He did send us all some of that. I remember that.
Do you remember how we started talking about Spicy Mike years ago? We were talking about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I remember I
can't remember the context, but I remember giggling so hard.
Spicy Mike, and you lost your goddamn shit. It was hilarious. Reaper Manufacturing, our good friend Reaper Manufacturing, good dude. He says, "Hey guys, longtime listener, first time caller. You asked for the most annoying noise in the shop recently. My shop is on my property, and it's 10 feet from my neighbor's kid's window. Nothing drives me more nuts than hearing, 'Hey neighbor, what are you doing?' every 5 minutes, all day long, all the time. Earplugs go a long way. Keep up the awesome work."
I thought he was going to say, nothing is worse than the noise of a little kid going, "Make the noise stop, make the noise stop."
All I can think of is, this is probably you're not going to get this one, but there's a famous cartoon and TV show. It was called Dennis the Menace. And it was just, Dennis the Menace.
That's a British thing, I think.
Really?
I'm pretty sure from the Beano, yes.
Well, Dennis the Menace is this little dork with the, you know, like freckles and a, you know, goofy, "Hey, mister, what are you doing?"
Stripey jumper.
I'm picturing fucking, and he says, "Keep up the awesome work, sincerely, Whale Endowed."
Jeez. News just in. Woo, woo. Combat Abrasives. They've now changed their shipping policy, and $49 is now the threshold for free shipping. And they've said, in honor of Valentine's Day, on the email that's just come through. But I don't know how romantic that is. But anyway, $49 is now all you need to spend to get free shipping from Combat
Abrasives.
I hate
to be this guy, but they should have called it $69 if you really want to be romantic. Oh, I mean, for Christ's sakes. I mean, if you're going to be Combat, I know you're not listening to this, but if you were, you should have done it at $69. That would have been more romantic.
It would have, and yes. And I've got to say, I don't know if they got somebody new on the team, but the email they've sent is beautiful. I mean, most of the emails we get from these knife manufacturing companies, they're pretty shitty. This looks beautiful. So
Look at you.
But also remember, Knife Talk 15 and get 15%. Is it 15?
Knife Talk 15, yeah.
And you get 15% off your order as well. So yeah, $49 is the new threshold for free shipping. And use Knife Talk 15 and get 15% off. Happy Valentine's Day. That's all I can say.
Fucking imagine if you had done 69, you buy $69 worth of abrasives and you get the Valentine's Day free shipping. That would have really been fucking.
Get some 200 quids for your wife. Yeah.
Oh, baby. Madness. Oh, baby. They still stick with us, ladies and germs. They're all sticking with us. They're paying. So, congratulations. So, we can keep going or we can go back to questions or whatever you want.
You tell everybody all about your grinder, and I'll look for some decent questions.
Get the Broadbeck Ironworks grinder, and I'm going to tell you why. It's an American-made business, and they make great grinders, and they have great attachments. It is meant to be very versatile, horizontal, vertical. They have awesome attachments, definitely lots of new attachments. They got their new rotary platen that they're working on. It looks great. The surface grinder attachment, their adjustable work rest. They're figuring these things out, and what they're doing is also providing great customer service. You can call them up. You can contact them. Ben Seacrest has been amazing. Ryan, Vince, they are very accessible, and that's one of the most important parts. As a small business, you should be supporting other small businesses, and if you go to BroadbeckIronworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off all the packages, all the accessories, all whatever they got. Definitely worth it. I'm proud to be involved with Broadbeck. They've been great to me, and they'll be great to you. Broadbeck Ironworks.
Nice one. Nice. Good question here from Paul Jansen. Here's a Kydex question. Is there any way to eliminate the small scratches that end up on the blade from repeated use? I've tried wrapping the blade up when I press the Kydex, and I clean the sheath after I'm done with any sanding on it. Am I missing something, or is it just part of it?
I think that we've covered this a little bit, and Eric Markman sent a message, and he says a lot of it is the hand sanding too. So if you were to kind of, when you finish your hand sanding and you go all the way up and then use Scotch-Brite to kind of finish off and just really kind of clean up you might have a better, there are a lot of scuffs every so often. You'll get a scuff, and it depends on the Kydex too. I've seen scuffs. And actually, frankly, when I sell any knife with the Baker Forge knives, with that beautiful, if I have a beautiful finish or a Damascus knife, I won't send it with a Kydex sheath because I am worried about the scuffs, because the anything that's touches your steel is going to rub it. There could be something in your sheath. There is a chance for there to be a scuff, and that kind of isn't really great. But at the same time, for me, I really see my knives, stainless steel users, as something that, you know, you're going to get scuffs. You're going to get scuffs, and usually they come off pretty easy. I never get any deep scratches, but sometimes you will see a scuff or something like that, and it comes off pretty easy with like a little bit of Scotch-Brite. But I also, there are types of Kydex with velvet on the inside, or some sort of kind of, coating. I always get worried that your blade tip is going to rip it, and then it's just going to turn into a fucking, you know, a mess in the inside. And I also think that stuff traps bacteria. I don't really get too hung up on this. They're meant to be used. That's my opinion. That's not a very good answer, but I think that you could probably even get scuffs if you were using like a wooden saya. Like, scuffs happen.
Anything where it comes into contact with something else. I mean, your knife is going to be harder material, obviously, than the Kydex or the wooden saya, but it's still going to scuff up a bit.
Yeah, I notice it. And if you were to use a harder steel, you might get less of it. But, you know, that's kind of the part of it. However, I will say, my friend, I said to me, Knives by Nuge, I got a knife from him, and he uses like a DLC coating, and that doesn't seem to have a problem with the Kydex. Kydex doesn't really kind of affect it very much. So I would imagine, I would take a look at what you're doing. I think that sometimes, especially if you're doing Kydex for like a chef knife, you don't have to have incredible retention. You're just trying to cover it. So sometimes I back off a little bit when I'm doing the Kydex press, because I feel like this isn't like for Rambo. This is just to make sure it doesn't cut somebody when his
You're not doing handstands in the woods with them.
Right. Yeah, so maybe back off on a chef knife. So I don't know. Maybe that's not the best answer, but I'm with you.
Yeah. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. Let me tell you about them. They've got everything you need. The one-stop shop for a knife maker. Steel blades, handle materials, tools. I'm sure they do Kydex as well. Forges, kilns, everything you need. They're the Canadian distributor for combat abrasives too. They also sell RhinoWet and RhinoStick. All the stuff that we mentioned. Lawrence will have it in stock. Go take a look at MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. They're Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram too. Definitely worth a follow. They've always got deals on, and they've always got their deal of buy 10 belts and you get one free. So effectively getting your 10% off. They're great. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. Okay, let's just do a couple more, and then we'll think
Fuck around.
Maybe go to an after show. Yeah. Okay, where are we? Mr. Thirsty Work has said, hey, man, I don't know if we've heard from them before.
There's Thirsty Work Industries, too. There's a couple of Thirsties.
Okay. Hey, misters, I've got a grinder question for you. Is there any reason to be concerned about the temperature of your platen? I tried to cool mine down with cold water when it gets too hot to touch. Is this necessary at all? I wonder if he started with, hey, misters. He's answered the question with his very first two answers.
Oh, misters,
his very first two words, hey, misters. It is certainly is something to be concerned about, but it does happen, unfortunately. So all the when you've got your belt traveling around your platen, it's going to generate heat. And we all know heat isn't, you know, your best friend when it comes to grinding. You want to keep things as cool as possible. There are products out there. You can get water-cooled platens. You can get misters and all that kind of stuff. But if you just take your time and plenty of dipping in cold water for the blade, you should be okay. But, you know, if you're jamming it right in there and you're causing a lot of heat... and you don't want to slow down. you're gonna overheat your blade simply, very easily. Yeah, so just take your time.
Wow, your whole last two sentences were very Valentine's Day oriented. Yeah, oh, yeah,
really?
Yeah.
What was that?
Don't get it too stick it in all the way. Take your time. All that. You did a nice job.
Yeah, you don't want to overdo it. The tip
you
work.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think the real, I think a bigger issue with platens is when you're standing on one spot too much, and you should start looking at your platens in regards to any dips in them.
Like a consumable as well, because they're going to,
it's consumable. And we've talked about this before, and I know that at one point, Mareko posed if there were carbide platens, and people do have carbide plates. A lot of people have messaged saying that there are carbide plates that will not wear. I am always amazed at how much better my belt finishes are when the platen is straight. I've used once in a while in the past, I used to put those Pyrex plates. I used to JB weld them on, then I put a couple bolts on the bottom and then as a ledge, and they're JB weld on the Pyrex. I think that's kind of a messy situation. Broadbeck sells replaceable platen plates, like little plates that are already ready to go. They're drilled. It's cheaper than buying the same size piece of steel and drilling the holes yourself. So you can actually get replaceable plates. I've actually put some of my plates on a surface grinder just to kind of straighten it up. And when it comes to, you know, we have a lot of conversations about belt finish and how hard it is. If you got something weird on your platen, it transfers over to your blade every time. And if you have a very crispy, clean platen, you will have a way better time grinding by a mile. I don't really do the misters because I just don't want water all over the place. Like, it just doesn't, I never really, once in a while, if I have to swap out and take the platen out, I'll notice it's fucking hot as shit. But I'm like, I don't get too horned up about it. Like Craig says, I dip the knife into the thing a lot, and I don't get too worried about how hot it gets. But I'm aware of when the platens need to be kind of flattened.
Yeah, and use different areas of the platen. So even if you're using a tool rest, you can get articulating arms that the tool rest sits on. So just, you know, bring it up and bring it down a bit every now and again. So you're not, you know, just putting all your wear on one area of the platen. But with regards to heat, yeah, the ideal is you don't get it too hot, because you're just going to cause problems for yourself when you're grinding with hot tips, that kind of stuff.
Let's just do this Nathan Scott one. Nathan Scott says, I'd love to know each of your perspectives regarding plateauing. I'm a self-taught hobbyist knife maker / bladesmith for 5 years and I've noticed that I have not been improving in my quality / skills as much as the last year I had in previous four. What do you recommend to kickstart the growth again? Thanks for the knowledge and entertainment. So he feels like he's like going a little stagnant.
It's an interesting one, that. I think when you first get into something, your interest is really high and you're doing it as much as you can, consuming as much around that as you can as well. So you're just learning, you're just like a sponge. And it's going to get to a point where all those basic skills you've got, and the only way you're improving then is via repetition. By just keep doing it, and you'll find that things will get better. I can bet you, if you pull out a piece of work that you did a year ago and a piece of work you did today, that you'll see a huge difference. Even if you think you haven't, I'm pretty sure you would. But if it is a case of maybe your interest is waning, try something new, try a different style, and challenge yourself again. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you're falling short, you'll soon get that feeling again where you want to be better, and you're going to start feeling it again. But I think, yeah, you're probably just at that stage where it's just repetition. And I can promise you, what you're making is certainly going to be better than what it was last year.
The strangest thing to me is the fact that there's so many people out there who don't want to, they're worried that they're going to be bored because they're doing the same thing over and over again. And it's like, I need to be, you know, I'm feeling a certain way, you know, I'm feeling like I'm plateauing or getting stagnant. When you do something over and over again, the point of doing something over and over again is you're getting better. And you're figuring out ways in which to be more efficient, even in the tiniest things. So I would see it as an opportunity to just, you know, just tighten up, and that will transfer over into other projects. I'm a huge fan of making sure that the next one's going to be better. And, you know, even at the shop, sometimes something doesn't go 100% right. We try to address it. I look at it. We talk about it, and we try to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I really try to make it very, like, methodical in terms of, you know, I don't want to be in the situation where we're having the same problem over and over again, and then we don't address it. Like, I think it's important to kind of, like, get these things down so they're almost second. Everything becomes second nature. And there's like a beauty in that too, because it just makes your life better. So I don't know if plateauing is every day can't be, you know, every day doesn't have to be something new and exciting. So the exciting part can be just, you know, getting your fundamentals down better and better and better, and then something will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it might not be the sort of knife making skills that you're improving on without realizing. It may be, you know, the systems that you're using, or, you know, how tidy your shop is, or something else. You know, I'm sure that, you know, things are improving, but it's just maybe not so immediate.
The other thing is I think we have this strange sense of immediacy. Everything is so with the you know, how the internet started, and people's attention spans, and how they watch things, and how they social media, and they see other things. There's this strange expectation on things happening immediately, but the things that you really, really love should take a long time. You don't, being naturally good at something is bullshit. The people who work hard because they have to, and they want to, and they want to get better, those are the guys who are like really into it. You don't need to be naturally good at something. The best thing is to work hard and to make yourself good at it, and it's going to take a long time.
I think everything seems obtainable at the moment. And I'm a huge victim of this myself. Where, you know, we're just being bombarded with these messages of everybody doing great and everybody, you know, on top of their game. But, you know, it's not true. We all know it's not true.
Here's really. In your situation. you know, you didn't just start a band you didn't start playing the guitar 2 years ago, and now all of a sudden you're being, you know, reviewed, the 355 is being reviewed by Noel Gallagher. You've been playing instruments and writing songs for your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's not, you know, people say to me, how long have you been making knives? I could say 10 years, but I could also say I've been a metal worker for fucking 30. And it's
been working up
like
to that.
All the skills that you have, you have to kind of see those as part of what got you there. I hate the whole, well, how long have you been doing it? Oh, I've been doing it for how, but you've been doing other things too that kind of got you there. So I think that somebody asked me what's the, I had to do an article with a food magazine about knife sharpening. And somebody said, what's the learning curve on this? And I wrote back, the learning curve on everything is a lot. Just know that getting very good at something, it takes a long time. And it's like, you got to stop it with your kitchen hacks. You know, if you watch some fucking, you watch a fucking 2 second movie and next thing you know, you're a fucking professional chef. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I see a lot of posts of, you know, how to fool your friends that you're great on piano by learning these three little riffs and things. You just think, but why? You're just fooling your friend. You're fooling yourself, you know? It's a weird thing, isn't it?
But the problem is there are always exceptions to the rule. There are some people who are extraordinarily exceptional that are able to kind of slip through the cracks, and it makes it seem like they're naturally gifted and they become famous for being naturally gifted. You hear stories about these people, these actors who are just plucked out of obscurity and have become famous actors. And it was like, they never went to acting school. They never played in plays. They just understood it from those types of people who are naturally gifted and become exceptionally good quickly. They're anomalies, and they really shouldn't be. They really should not be. You shouldn't compare yourself to these people who really have a natural gift that most people don't have.
Yeah, it's incredibly rare, but it's more visible now. I think that's the problem. We see.
I'll keep saying it. I'll keep saying about this. The Knicks just before I got on here, I had all these things I wanted to talk about, but the Knicks just did this huge trade, and the Knicks are, I mean, they're just unbelievable right now. And the main guy is this guy Jalen Brunson, who was shorter than everybody else. That means he wasn't naturally gifted to be tall and could be play. You know, their fucking basketball players are 7'8". They're naturally good. They don't have to jump to put the fucking ball in the hoop. You know, so there's certain people with natural gifts, and this kid worked his fucking ass off since he was a child and willed himself into, now he's going to be at the All-Star game. He's renovated, changed the face of the New York Knicks. He was just a dude who just practiced the fundamentals harder than everybody else. And it's like, it took him his whole life to get in this position. And that should be what you should be thinking about, is like, it's going to take a long time. But you know what? Funny thing enough is, Craig, is I'm older than you, and it's taken me fucking 45 years to realize that growing old is a gift in terms of your experience. Like now I understand, and I'm a little bit more accepting. So you there?
Okay.
I'm there.
Oh, yeah. We can get quite deep there. Before we head off, we need to tell everybody about Dharma Steel. We mentioned them earlier in the show, how easy it is to use. But if you don't know what it is, it's a stainless Damascus. And just this week, they launched the new pattern, actually. So everybody head on over to dharmasteel.sc and see the beautiful new patterns that they've got. It's just really nice stuff. They're great people, too. And if you want to make something special, Dharma Steel is the stuff to use. And remember, if you use, is it Knife Talk 10? You get 10% off your order as well. So set up an account with Dharma Steel, Knife Talk 10, get 10% off. And we've got some news coming soon about a new build along, in partnership with Maritime Knife Supply too. So, it's going to be interesting.
All right.
What do you think? Should we call it a day?
Do we do the knife print, or we do that? Can't remember.
Okay.
Sorry.
Knife print.
Sorry about that. You want me to do it for you?
I'm thinking.
Guys,
you do it.
Listen,
go on. Yes.
It's all, you know, sometimes your best isn't good enough. Sometimes you got to do whatever it takes. And if you want to learn AutoCAD, in an easy way, go to knifeprint.com. You don't have to download anything. You don't have to know anything.
Fucking hell. Listen to the old man. It's not AutoCAD.
What did I say?
It's AutoCAD is a program for
I'm sorry. Can you take it away? It's
like talking to my grandma.
Yeah, I know. All you do is you.
So it's on a computer.
You get your donkey and you bring it to the well. And the cocoa bowl around.
If you want to do any sort of CAD, any sort of design on screen, and I think if you're designing knives, why wouldn't you be able to save your knives and bring them back up, make slide edits, all that kind of thing? KnifePrint is the way to go, particularly if you've never done any CAD before. They make it super, super simple. There's no licensing. There's no programs to download. It's all done in a browser at knifeprint.com. And they've got a really cool system where obviously you can print your designs out to paper. But you can print them out in steel too. So you press print, you choose the stock that you want, and they'll laser jet them or they'll wash jet cut them out, and they'll ship them to you. So great for prototyping, that kind of thing. KnifePrint.com. It's the shit.
All right.
Okay. Thank you all for listening.
We got some after show stuff to do.
We have, okay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Stick around for the fun stuff.
This show is...
Of course.
They're still here.
Okay, of course. Cool. Listen, this is coming out on Monday, and as of last night, or your last night, or last night from when you're listening to this, was the Super Bowl. So I gave the listeners the opportunity to be a winners or losers and predict, make their predictions for the Super Bowl so they can come in on Monday and say, I knew it was going to happen, or I suck. So go to Knife Talk Podcast Instagram. I usually do this for something big, and you know we're recording on Thursday, and then the Super Bowl is Sunday. My wife is excited, very excited. We cook some special food. We have to work on the menu. It's a big production. The Super Bowl is a lot of fun, so I am excited.
How long does a game last?
Football game is like could be 3 to 4 hours. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because it's something like that. I think I watched a ton of football this season. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I can't see what's happening kind of while it's happening. I need to be told that it's too much going on, but I do enjoy the pageantry of it all. So, nice. Jake Norris 55 says 34-28 Chiefs. So he got the Chiefs with 34 points. Adele Knives says 49ers 24, Chiefs 18. Oh, he's going for San Francisco. Holt,
all close scores.
Kinda, yeah. Holton Handmade says 24-20 Chiefs. That's a tight score. Third Hill Custom says Taylor Swift 27 and the Taylor haters 24. So Third Hill Customs thinks that the Chiefs are gonna win 27-24. Kohlrabi Knife says, I thought the Super Bowl was like 3 months ago. That was his prediction.
I did too. When you said it's the Super Bowl, I'm thinking, how many times a year?
Well,
they
you know,
do
the
this?
Crazy Jeez. Part is
it's at the Chef Invitational. Come down every
the crazy
eight weeks.
Thing is like, I was listening to this sports guy. His name is Stephen A. Smith, and he was saying that there's no other United States sports organization that has done more for sport than the NFL, where every single game is like the Super Bowl, is like a pageantry. No one's done a bit, you know, so like 17 games and then the whatchamacallit. Fiery Ice and Forge has 28-33 San Francisco. BlackRock Forge says 24-14 for Kansas City. Wyoming Cody says Yankees by 3-1 stroke. That's some nerd shit right there. That's fine. The Yankees will win this year. I'm looking forward to Yankee season. All right. Brigham Kendall says Chiefs by 3. And here's a prop bet. You know what a prop bet is? Is like people bet bet on something that's nothing to do with the game. Chiefs by 3. And Kelsey proposes to Taylor Swift after the game on the field. But I want the 49ers. So there's a lot of bet. People will bet if they flip the coin and it's heads or tails. They bet chip commercial. Is it Doritos? Will Usher, who's singing, what would be the first song? It's like, it's an insane amount of betting. And then
what's your go-to snacks, dude, for a sport?
I told you, I used to go to Super Bowl parties. The problem is it's on Sunday, and it's like it goes kind of late. So you don't really want to, especially if you have to work, it's not really great to go out. Wings are fucking good, but you don't want to eat wings at a party in front of other people. It's so fucking messy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Usually chips and dip. Pizza's good, but once again, like, I don't want to go to someone's house and, like, be a gavone with all this shit. You know, I don't want to, like, be a total fucking wreck. But we have to, Hill and I are going to figure it out. We used to do cauliflower wings, and we used to do, like, fucking tater skins, potato skins with cheese, and we all, Hillary likes it when I do a whole big production, but at the same time, it's like, it's just the two of us now, so who knows? Haven't been doing any drinking, so it's like, which is actually doing pretty good for me. So we won't be doing any of that.
Good stuff. I've lost a bit of weight myself, actually. I've been, just eating less. I've been, because I've been feeling rough. I haven't wanted to eat. And a few people have said, oh, it looks like you've lost a bit of weight. So that sort of spurred me on a bit then, you know? I still need to move more and get out more, but, you know, time's a problem with that. Yeah, but with regards to eating, I'm doing pretty well. So and enjoying it, seeing as a bit of a challenge then, you know? It was nothing intentional, but when somebody mentioned it, it was just like, thank you.
Losing a little weight feels good. I tell you what, if you cut the sugar and the booze is what you will, if you can cut the sugar and the booze out, it'll just drain off you. The weight will just come right off. So.
Yeah.
I've been really focusing on trying to sleep. Hillary and I had a 50. Somebody threw us a 50th birthday party, and at a restaurant, a friend of ours had a party at this restaurant. And I just told Hillary, I'm like, you know what? You can have all the drinks you want. I'll drive home. I'm not going to drink anything. She's like, are you sure it's your party? I'm like, yeah, I'd just rather wake up in the morning and feel okay. And I had one glass of wine, and then I just drank seltzer water the rest of the night. And I felt like $1 million bucks the next morning. I can't.
Yeah.
I cannot handle. It feels good, doesn't it?
When you get up the next day.
I'm 50. Like, yes. I cannot handle a hangover. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yes. It's a three. It's a 3-day event for me now. Hangover.
The thought of that. Thought of that is just. I can't do it. I cannot do it. And then the dogs wake you up because they have to take a leak, and they you don't get to sleep in, and forget it, man. Forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, be thankful you don't have little ones. We've got a 1-year-old going through the terrible twos at the moment.
How's he doing?
It's hard work, really hard work with him. He's, a lot earlier than the girls did. He's all of a sudden, he's no, and he's hitting. And everybody goes to that sort of hitting, And it's like, what can you do, you know? And it's just, oh, man, temper tantrums at anything.
Really?
Absolutely anything, Hard, hard work.
Dude, you're not getting any younger. Yeah.
I know, I'm too old for this shit.
I told Hillary, I was just like, you know, Craig and his wife, they have two, like, 6-year-olds and two 5-year-olds and a 1-year-old. She's like, and how old is he? I was in his mid-40s. She's like, oh, fuck that. My wife was like, after we had Lila, she really wanted us to have, she wanted another baby. And I think that there was a lot of like, you know, that inner pang. And we just came to the conclusion, like, we can't afford it. We had to make a real decision to be like, we want to be able to provide for Lila in a manner that would be best for her and best for us as a family. Yeah. And we just could not financially afford another kid. And it was hard for Hillary for a long time. And it wasn't like me saying I put my foot down, but it was like a real like conversation. We'd just be like, in this situation, we won't be able to save for college. We won't be able, it'd be harder for everything. And she agreed. Now she's just like, thank God. Like, I mean, The thought of having another kid in the house is madness.
Yeah. And just the costs of everything lately as well. It's fucking scary. We had an electricity bill, like a monthly bill for our electricity. And it was like 800 euros, which is what, $800 basically for the month. And it's just like, what? And it's like, we can't do it. We can't not heat like you know, the kids' bedrooms, for example, you know? It's not like we're just going out and just leaving heating on everywhere. It's just mad.
The like, basic once living in a while, I can imagine maybe you and Amy decided, no one wants to cook. Let's go out for dinner tonight. We'll go to somewhere inexpensive. You know, you're not going for a big deal with the kids. You take the three kids. You guys go to somewhere. What's the cost of dinner? So I can tell you what, for Lila, when Lila was younger, we would go to a place. Generally speaking, we're in Westchester, New York. I could always tell that dinner was going to be around $80 before tip, $80 before tip for the three of us.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing about France, actually, particularly in the, I mean, in the winter, there's nowhere to go for us here. We're miles away from anywhere, so we wouldn't bother. But in the summer, eating out is far cheaper than
really?
Buying ingredients and cooking in. Oh, yeah. I mean, we can go out as a family. I mean, I know they're very little anyway. We can go out for a family and spend €50 and have three courses with wine.
For all the kids.
With the kids as well. Eating out is
$50.
Incredibly cheap. God. Yeah.
This must be. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's the one
thing that is, you know, cheap over here is eating out, because that's the sort of way of living, you know, and, you know, taking your kids out as well late at night. It's just everybody eats out in the summer. It's, you know, quite often we won't cook for weeks on end in the summer. It's quite normal. And I think it's just the fact that they've got so many people out all the time that their costs are less and they can make it more affordable.
When I said $80 for three of us, I mean, so I'm going to like a kind of a tavern place, but not like an expensive place, not an inexpensive place, but like
middle of the road.
We're going to have kind of a nice family dinner without it being like, you know, nothing special. So yeah, even if we get sushi, sushi, it's going to be about like $80-$90 for the three of us.
Yeah.
Wow, $50 for five of you. That's crazy. Chicken fingers.
Yeah, honestly, in the summer, we generally don't cook.
Ah.
You know, it's just because there's something going on everywhere. And it's a weird thing, but restaurants here, they close in the winter. There's just nothing here. I think because we're quite a sort of touristy area, I suppose, that it's just so quiet here in the winter, they don't bother. But yeah, it's an incredible value in the summer.
I can only imagine, I'm thinking about when you're taking the kids to Disneyland. It's like, that's got to be fucking madness.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah. You know, 30 euro hot dogs, you know, and you know, they're not even going to eat them. And it's just like, oh Jesus, that's like 150 euros. For
you know something crazy?
Dog.
I have a friend whose father is part of the Recording Academy in the United States. And every year they go to the Grammys. The Grammys were this past weekend.
Mm.
And she went and got to watch it. It was amazing. And she posted about the fact that she and her dad both got a drink. Because I guess you couldn't get a drink in the first half an hour of the show. They don't let you get a drink because they want to make sure the seats look filled. They went to get two doubles. You know, like a double, you know, let's say two vodka on the rocks doubles. Two drinks.
Yeah.
$109.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? She wrote $109 Sheesh. For two doubles. Fucking wow, Grammys sense. Got you, baby. Jesus Christ.
Bugger that.
Jesus.
My God. Right. Let's head out. We're hour and a half in. We're giving people value for their money here. Thank you all for listening. We should be back next week with Mareko. I think
Let's
he's back
do it.
Next week, isn't he?
And guys, listen to Triple T Knife Works with Dennis Terrell. Give them a look. And I was just joking about work for a podcast. Listen to that too.
They're good guys. Right, we should speak to you again next week. Bye for now.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.